Blog Talk Radio.
Your home for Purdue football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardon.
Expectations are up. Can the results follow? We start to find out on Friday with Purdue's trip to Nevada. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik here for the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we kick off 2019. Matchups, storylines, and more on this hour-long pregame podcast. All right, Tom, Purdue kicking it off late on Friday night, 9:30 at least here locally. You're out there in Reno. Get a little bit of a break. It'll be 6:30 your time. We'll get a forecast for out that direction. It'll be a little warm there in Reno for the kick. Not too bad, though. We'll talk to WFI meteorologist Andy Brown here in just a couple of minutes. But, Tom, we've been anticipating this season for quite a while now. It seems like it has been a long off season as we gear up for this one. Are you feeling the excitement that kickoff is almost here?
Oh, no doubt. You know, they seem like the analysis, the conjecture, the speculation has been going on for 10 years, doesn't it? But it's been months and months to build up to this point. Like you said, we're finally here. The wraps are going to be taken off the 2019 season. Of course, Jeff Brohm's third in West Lafayette. He's 13-13 overall, 9-9 in the Big Ten through those 2 years. Two bowls. Now, you know, everybody thinks, what's next, right? What's next for Jeff Brohm and Purdue? Like I said, we'll get our first look here against Nevada. And, you know, from a perspective flying over from 10,000 feet, as they say, it looks like fans may have something to be excited about this year.
This is a talented Purdue team. It's also a very young and inexperienced Purdue team. You broke it down earlier in the week, 20 freshmen or redshirt freshmen in that two deep. I mean, that is quite a lot. And, you know, not all those guys are backups. There's a handful of them that are in there in starting roles. Whether Purdue is a 6, 7, 8, 5 win team might hinge a little bit on how quickly those guys get going.
Yeah, they're going to have to hit the ground running, some of these guys. You know, when the first team defense hits the field against the Wolfpack, George Karloff is going to be out there at defensive end. Expect to see Jalen Graham, another two freshmen, with the defense right away as well. Marvin Grant, another two freshmen, supposed to be backing up Jalen Graham. So that's three true freshmen on defense. It looked like they're going to see significant minutes. Maybe even Cam Allen, the defensive back, too, can get on the field at some point to play some key moments as well. And offensively, the running backs and the wide receivers, right? Everybody wants to see David Bell and Milton Wright, both the second-team wide receivers. Of course, the backs, too, King Daru, especially King Daru, listed as the number two guy behind Xander Horvath. But, Kyle, I think this true freshman from Amarillo, Texas, could be special. I really look forward to seeing him run the ball.
We'll listen to your conversation with Duke Rittenhouse from the Reno Gazette Journal here in just a couple of minutes. But let's talk briefly here about Nevada. This is a Wolfpack team that is also building, might be a little bit ahead of the curve after winning a bowl game, a great game, last season against Arkansas State. They do replace a little bit offensively, especially the quarterback. Carson Strong will be in there calling the game for the Wolfpack. But, man, they do have some pretty good skill position guys returning from last year's squad.
Yeah, running back, who is the Mountain West Freshman of the Year, ran for close to 1,000 yards in his debut. Wide receivers, maybe the strongest offensive unit for Nevada. They've got some size. They've got some speed. They've got some experience. They've got some playmakers. So, that Purdue secondary could be tested. The offensive line, though, Kyle, and quarterback, those are the two concerns for the Wolfpack. Three new starters on the line, like Purdue. The interior is a worry. And you talked about the quarterback, the redshirt freshman, Carson Strong, has not played significant football since his junior year in high school. He missed his senior year with injury. Last year in Reno, he only played in one game before redshirting. So this is an awfully inexperienced quarterback. And You got to think Purdue's going to try to rattle this kid, not give him time to find those receivers, try to pressure him and get some turnovers.
Speaking of some injuries, Purdue has a few, though none of these ones that were really unexpected. Purdue's had an opportunity really to adjust to Tario Fuller and Richie Worship both being out. The two running backs, Lorenzo Neal, obviously won't play in this game either. None of those are new injuries. Tario's really the most recent, so that's been now a couple of weeks. Purdue's had a time to adjust. You expect that Purdue will be in pretty good shape when this thing kicks off on Friday night.
Yeah, I think so. We talked about the running backs a little bit. I think they'll be fine there. Again, Horvath, it's going to be fun to watch him play in more of an extended role. Talked about Kangaroo. And then, you know, Lorenzo Neal being out up front on the defensive line, that's the biggest loss, obviously, not having him. He's such a difference maker, such a big body, can push the pocket. Can really stop the run. And, you know, playing Nevada, not a super big or powerful team, is going to help Purdue. And they think they have a good replacement right now in redshirt freshman Lorenzo Johnson. So, again, no Neal, no Fuller, but I think Purdue should be okay against the Wolfpack.
Should be a good one. The altitude, we'll see if that makes that big a difference. I know Purdue went over a day early. You think that factors in at all?
I don't think so. I know Purdue's taking every precaution to make sure it doesn't. 4,500 feet in Reno, about 614 feet in West Lafayette. You know, being there a day early could help those bodies adapt. But again, I think the altitude storyline may be a little overblown at this point. I don't really suspect it to have a negative impact on Purdue when this thing's kicked off.
All right, Tom, we'll talk to you here a little bit toward the end of the show. We'll get some matchups, some of the things that we'll be looking forward to in the game on Friday, maybe give you our predictions as well, that and much more. But let's take a break. When we come back, we'll listen in to Tom's conversation with Duke Rittenhouse of the Reno Gazette Journal. We'll do that here coming up in just a moment. You're listening to the Golden Black Radio pregame show.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
All right, Tom Dienhart with GoldenBlack.com. Looking forward to the Friday night Purdue at Nevada game. And sort of to get us up to speed with the Nevada Wolfpack, I've got on the line Duke Rittenhouse of the Reno Gazette Journal. Duke, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk to me about the Wolfpack. And You know, just in general, this will be Jay Norvell's third season in Reno. I know they won 8 games last year, won a bowl game as well. Just talk in general about maybe what Jay Norvell has meant to this Wolfpack program.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. Kind of a culture transformation. The program arguably was underachieving at the end of the Brian Polian era, and Jay Norvell's kind of a no-excuses guy, and he came in and said, essentially, look, the roster is small. It's too small. It's too slow. This roster can't win, you know, Mountain West championships, and kind of challenged everyone, said if you want to play, you know, you're going to get bigger and faster. And it started right away. The results were a little bit slow to come. If you look back to 2017 and the 0-6 start and losing to Idaho State, which was just a nightmare, and things started to turn around. Last year's team definitely had a different identity. Last year's team was bigger and faster, and they expected to – frankly, they did. They expected to win every game. That was Nevada's first 8-win season since joining the Mountain West. And as you mentioned, you know, a bowl win hadn't happened in quite a while, and, you know, overtime bowl win, which is very exciting. So, yeah, he, you know, he is, again, I'm going to say a no-nonsense guy, and he challenged you know, everyone from the assistant coaches to the players to the secretaries. He said, you know, we all need to step up. And I think entering his third season, we're really starting to see that.
And then, you know, Duke, going into this year, what are the expectations within the Mountain West? Is this team supposed to contend and get back to a bowl game this year? Is that the expectations of the fan base?
Yeah,
there?
Certainly taking the second part of the question first, a bowl game is a minimum for this team. This is a bowl team for sure. And, you know, it's funny because I couldn't have said that a year ago. It's coming off that bad 2017. I wouldn't have said that. But this is a bowl team for sure. You know, the problem with the Mountain West, particularly in the West Division, is Fresno State lately, which, you know, Jeff Tedford has just turned them around, speaking of turnarounds. And so they're tough. Nevada has struggled with San Diego State, although they won last year's game in Reno. So those are your two favorites. And, you know, according to the preseason poll, Fresno State and San Diego State were 1 and 2. Nevada was actually voted third in that poll. So it seems their goals are pretty clear, you know, clear cut in front of them. And then if this team can win the West, which I think is beating Fresno, I think they got over the San Diego State mental block last year. So Fresno is the last block, and that's a key game. That game will be in Fresno, so that'll be tough. But if they can reach the Mountain West Championship game, you know, then you're probably staring right at Boise State, which is kind of a pain. More specifically to your question, yes, high expectations. The players are openly talking about competing for divisional and conference titles. Again, that's not something you saw 2-3 years ago. You wouldn't have had players going, you know, yeah, we're the best team in the Mountain West. You just wouldn't have heard that.
Offensively, what are some of the strengths and what are some of the concerns?
Again, taking the second part first, the obvious concern is quarterback. Ty Ganji started for the better part of 3 seasons. He's gone. And a redshirt freshman won the quarterback competition. Carson Strong, 6'4", kind of a pocket passer. Interesting guy, didn't play as a senior in high school. He was injured, so he's ready to play a football game. He survived a fairly intense battle between a returning senior named Christian Solano, who was the only quarterback who'd thrown a pass in a Division I game on the roster, and then Malik Henry, who you might know if any of your listeners saw Last Chance U. Malik Henry ended up here at Nevada. And the competition looked fairly even, and Malik has been hampered by a hamstring. So they've had him in limited contact or no contact practice, and just by almost attrition, Carson Strong won the job. So there's your main concern. The line, the offensive line, which is a real source of pride here, is being rebuilt too. At tackle, there's Jake Nelson, who was an all-conference preseason pick, and he's solid. And the center is actually a local kid, went to high school here in town. And that's such a pivotal position for the air raid, with the center calling all of the signals and setting everyone up and all that. His name is Nate Edwards, and so I wouldn't say a concern. That's not the right word, but Nate has never been a starter before. Purdue is going to bring Big Ten size into Reno, and so the offensive line I think is a bit of concern. The receivers are great; that they should be solid, and the running back Toa Tala is the reigning conference freshman of the year, so solid at running back too. I'd say the concern is, can Carson Strong overcome the butterflies that he's certain to have, especially against, they opened with Portland State last year, and Purdue was not Portland State. So, especially against a Big Ten coming to town, if he can overcome that, start hitting his receivers, if Toa Tala can start gaining some yards, the offense should be fine.
And what about the defense? What are some of the strong points? What are some of the areas of concern there for the Wolfpack?
I think you got to start with the linebackers. For a strong point, the all seniors, and a couple interesting stories. One guy went into the transfer portal, decided to stay at school. One guy was granted a 6-year of eligibility. So all of a sudden, the linebackers, which were not going to be a strength, are a strength. Nevada plays a base 3-3-5, so the linebackers have to be mobile. They have to make a lot of plays, and so that's Lucas Weber on the outside. He's a local kid. He's the 6th-year guy. Gabriel Sewell, who you'll recognize, number 7, he's got hair down to basically the belt of his uniform. He's one of those guys that has the long, long hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the middle. And a guy named Malik Brody, who's really getting his first chance to shine as well as a senior, is on the outside as well. All seniors, they all practice well. They are going to have to, I think the first third of the season especially, they're going to have to really lead. Because I'll segue into the secondary, which is the question mark, which, is obviously a problem. When a guy like Rondale Moore comes to town, that's a pretty big problem. But a guy named Daniel Brown is the most experienced cornerback. I expect to see him line up opposite Moore. Daniel Brown's great. After that, the secondary, which, again, it's 5 guys in the secondary, the experience level, the big game experience especially, really drops off at that point. So, in fact, I was just writing an article I'm finishing up that more or less says the secondary needs to mature fairly quickly, or Nevada can't hope to repeat 8 wins again. I mean, they're going to get – a guy like Moore is going to get a lot of catches for sure, but you can't let him – single-handedly win the game. I mean, I think they know that. But so that unit, the secondary, once you get past Daniel Brown, I think it's fair to say you have some question marks for Nevada. Up front, they're solid. We have a game-time decision on Dom Peterson, who's a 300-pounder, a good player, very enthusiastic, gets the defense fired up, tweaked his knee on the second play of the first scrimmage. And it's not an ACL thing. It's just very tender. So he's a game-time decision. So from front to back, the line is fine. The linebackers are great. The secondary's got questions.
All right, Duke Rittenhouse of the Reno Gazette Journal, I appreciate you breaking down the Wolfpack, and that'll be a good ball game on Friday night. Thanks again.
Okay, no problem.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. Their restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank. where better is better. Member FDIC.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. All right, let's welcome in WOFI meteorologist Annie Brown. Talk a little bit of forecast for out there in Reno. We'll be warm during the day, kickoff around a little after 6 o'clock. Annie, it should be cooling a little bit. What's the forecast for Friday?
Kyle, right at kickoff, it's going to be around 84 degrees, but it's going to feel very pleasant. The winds will be an issue. They will be with them out of the west, around 15 miles per hour, wind gusts anywhere between 25 to 30. So that could affect the game ever so slightly. As they head into the evening hours after that sun sets, yes, temperatures fall off quite a bit, getting to about 72 by 9 p.m., and then dropping into the 60s. Cloud coverage, they will be clear. Not seeing much in the wake of that. All in all, not a bad-looking forecast. Winds will die down, too, after that sun sets. So the second half is looking to be a lot better than the first.
Yeah, you read that forecast in the 90s, and you think it's going to be blistering, but the late afternoon evening kickoff makes it a heck of a lot better out there in Reno.
That sure does. So those west winds will be an issue at the beginning, and then a lot better for the second half.
All right, thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Kyle.
That's WOFI meteorologist Annie Brown bringing us a game day forecast for Reno.
Golden Black Radio Pregame Show, the most in-depth guide to Saturday's game you'll find, featuring the staff of Golden Black.
And let's bring in Brian Newbert, get his perspective on Purdue's 2019 season opener, Boilermakers against the Wolfpack. This is a different Wolfpack team than the one that we saw in Ross-Ade a few years ago. That Brian Polian team, I think, was a little overrated. I've said this before, one of the more disorganized teams, I thought. For a team that had the expectations that Nevada team had, I thought they were bad. And Purdue took care of them. This is a little bit of a different game for a number of reasons. Purdue's in a little bit different spot. Nevada probably in a little bit of a different spot as well. Purdue gets to fly a long way over there to Reno to play a road game in its opener. Brian, I don't like the idea of doing that, but it is what the schedule is. And Purdue's going west to play its first game of the 2019 season.
Yeah, I wrote in my column on our site yesterday that Purdue doesn't need to be doing this. Now, from here on out, don't do this anymore. You know, don't open the season by going to some crazy place for a game that really doesn't benefit you all that much. Purdue did this stuff in the past to get people to come to Ross-Ade Stadium. You know, it's expensive to get people to come play you nowadays. It's really, really expensive. But, you know, it's sort of the cost of doing business these days. And, you know, kind of games like this, you just kind of want to win and get home. And, you know, I think obviously that's going to be Purdue's aim out in Reno. You have enough young guys out there. You have enough unknowns about your team. Don't know if to spew horrible cliches here. I don't know how much style points really matter on Friday night. The circumstances of this game are a little bit unconventional. It's a season opener, so there's going to be a certain amount of slop involved. Just win and get the hell home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. So this is year three for Jeff Brohm. Oftentimes year three of a new era, a new coaching staff, new time. The expectations start to rise up a little bit. We did it in our written roundtable earlier this week, what the expectation level should be for this team. So what do you think is the correct expectation for this Purdue team coming off a couple of seasons in a row where it makes bowl games but, you know, doesn't play all that consistently either?
Yeah, I just think, you know, more. however you want to define more, whether that's a win total, whether that's the consistency that I think obviously, you know, you don't want this to be a team now in year three that can beat Ohio State, but then lose to Minnesota, you know, by a decisive margin, you know, a team that really should have won at Michigan State, you know, really should have been better in the bowl game than it was. I mean, the inconsistency was still the look of a young program. And now in year three, you're not as young as a program since it's kind of new beginning a couple of years ago. This is a season you kind of build toward a little bit. You got a lot of pieces in place. And I think the most important of those pieces, we spend a lot of time talking about quarterbacks. We spend a lot of time talking about wide receivers and all the talent Purdue has. But the most important piece of this puzzle now is that experience on defense. Because if you were just a little bit better last year on defense, the season is entirely different. Now, you know, you would really like Purdue as a program from Purdue's perspective to get to the point where you don't have to score a ton of points to win every single game. You don't have to scheme productivity. You don't have to rely on the trick plays and the creativity and Jeff Brohm's playbook, so to speak, to win. You want to just line up and play and win. And you have to be able to stop people to do that. And last year, Purdue just couldn't get enough stops when it needed stops to win games. Now, everybody should be a little bit better on that defense. It sounds like you have a little bit more of a pass rush. You've got experience. More important, you've got some maturity. You would hope to where when the game is on the line, you don't get called for personal foul, something like that. If Purdue's a little bit better defensively last season, the season's entirely different. Now I think you're much closer to a position here, theoretically, where you can win games with defense as well as just outscoring people. And I think that's the most important piece of the puzzle here this season.
Purdue is very young. We know that. You can tell that just by looking at the two deep. We know it by looking at the team as well. Can it still compete in the West, even though it has all that youth out there playing on Saturdays?
I don't see why not. I mean, you know, it is young, but it is talented as hell. And, you know, it is the good problem to have that comes with upgrading your talent level, is that you reset the clock on accruing experience and you get younger as you get more talented. But you would rather have good players and good athletes and superior talent on the field than not. And when you look at the George Karloftises and the David Bells and the Milton Wrights and the Jalen Grahams, those guys are players. Those guys physically, athletically, those guys are a different level of athlete than Purdue's had in more than a decade probably. And, you know, it's hard to win without talent. And, you know, Purdue has the talent now. It's just going to have to overcome some mistakes. It's going to have to live with some mistakes. It's going to have to live with some of the ramifications of inexperience. You would probably rather be talented and young than old and bad.
Well, I would agree with you there, I think. Unfortunately for the two of us, we fall into one category there, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
I check both the old and bad boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you, brother. All right. Thanks, man.
Yep, no problem.
That's Brian Newbert with his perspective on Purdue's opener against Nevada. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we'll talk to Alan Karpik, a little bit of Big Ten football and his perspective on this opener as well. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
And Kyle Charters here with Alan Carpet to take a look at a few of those Big Ten games. Minnesota getting it kicked off on this Thursday night before the Boilermakers in action on Friday. Alan, let's take a look at three games coming up on Saturday. A lot of these games, questionable value, I would say. Maybe some intrigue to Indiana and Ball State playing in Lucas Oil, that game at noon, Saturday. The Hoosiers favored by this one by 17, which feels like a lot of points for me. Don't know really much of anything about Ball State other than where it's located. What are your expectations for Indiana and for this, you know, sort of neutral site game there in Indianapolis?
Well, I think Indiana's is quietly, you know, they're just taking a back seat to Purdue, obviously, and you can bring it to a head, so to speak, in terms of the ability to, you know, the two bowl games or bucket games were bowl games for both teams in essence, and Indiana lost both of them. So, yeah. Long story short, the Hoosiers need to start winning. They have no margin for error. They have to win games in the non-conference because they run that four-game gauntlet where they're just not going to win games in their division. So I like Indiana in this one. I don't know a lot about Ball State in this situation, but I think Indiana is solid enough, but that isn't good enough in the East Division of the Big Ten.
Yeah, you look at that Indiana schedule and you feel like, again, Indiana-Purdue – Indiana's going to need to win that game in the bucket game to get bowl eligible. Yep. That's if it takes care of, you know, opponents like Ball State on Saturday. All right, maybe the game in the Big Ten, Northwestern traveling to number 25, Stanford, 4 o'clock kick on Saturday. Stanford a favorite by this one by a little less than a touchdown. But this is a game that I feel like the Wildcats can go out there and compete in. In fact, they did go out there and win a couple of years ago, I feel like. Now, Northwestern has had issues at the start of seasons. They went on the road and beat Purdue in an early game last year. What do you think about the Wildcats this season?
Well, you know, it's funny because they have, like you said, have started slow. They didn't start slow last August 30th or 31st, whatever the date was in Ross Aid, or getting out with a huge win. These are two very, very similar programs, excellent coaches in both camps. I like Stanford probably because they're at home, but it is one of the two intriguing games in the Big Ten this week. Well, three. I'll put Purdue and Nevada in there too, and maybe Wisconsin and South Florida. But that is you know, it's just going to be a grinder game, and first games, as we all know, you never know exactly how you're going to execute. But if anybody's going to execute well, it's these two teams. And when Northwestern's lost early, they've lost on some fluky things, and you have to think maybe that program has matured enough to be able to really put a top effort out there in out west.
You mentioned that Wisconsin game. Let's talk a little bit about Iowa also. 7:30 kickoff on Saturday. Iowa in this game against Miami of Ohio favored by just more than three touchdowns. The reason why the Hawkeyes intrigue me a little bit is because for some reason, even though they have a senior quarterback, it doesn't seem like a lot of people picking them to win the West. They would be my pick right now to do so rather than like a Minnesota or a Nebraska. But the Hawkeyes also have a tendency to play to their competition early in the season in particular. You think there's any chance that they play down to the level of their competition in this opener?
I don't, but I do think, you know, again, Iowa is just the ultimate plotting team that is funny when it early on in the season. Sometimes they don't get themselves up to speed. But with Nate Stanley and with a defense that's pretty good, I like Iowa to get through what it needs to get through. But, you know, again, it's really a lackluster first week, but there'll probably be a surprise in there somewhere, and it may change the whole tone of it. You hope if you're Purdue that you're not the surprise, but there are a lot of wide point spreads in week one.
That's the Big Ten Roundup for week one.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical look at this one. Early kickoff dates. This is pretty early, right? A Friday night, August 30th. Is this the earliest kickoff for Purdue?
Well, it's a tie, at least in terms of date. I believe August 30th, 1998. I'm still sweating from that game at the Coliseum when Purdue played USC. And the Boilermakers obviously lose that one in Drew Brees' debut 27-17. But they've had a couple August 31st games. We know that. Illinois State in 2002, last year as well. Also 1985, I believe it was, Purdue-Pittsburgh, when an ill-executed two-point conversion from Jim Everett to Jack Berry fell short, and Purdue loses that game. That's your memories from those dates. But, yeah, rare to start this early. Purdue's program will know it's arrived maybe if they ever get a week zero game. That's the new term, I guess, in college football. But Arizona and Hawaii played in week zero, so I don't know how they always determine that. But, no, it's an early date, and Purdue hasn't played very many games before September 1st.
All right, let's talk elevation, because that's been a little bit of chatter this week leading into kickoff. This game in Reno will be played at about 4,500 feet. Purdue has played in a little bit of elevation before, right? The game's in El Paso. That's a little bit of elevation out there, but this is the highest?
This is the highest. This is the obscure, silly stat of the week, and yet – you know, you wonder about Purdue just because we talked about the temperatures up at Minnesota last year, and it was one of the coldest games ever, and Purdue just did not show up. So you hope that that's not going to infiltrate the Boilermakers' thought process. My guess it won't. But, yeah, I was surprised to see that El Paso was at 3,700 feet and Arizona down in Tucson at about 2,500. And then you have, I think, a game at Pitt. We talked about that. And then there are only two schools, and this is great knowledge for you walking around, only two schools with an elevation over 1,000 feet in the Big Ten. One you would guess, probably Penn State. The other I didn't really guess, and that's Nebraska in Lincoln. So that's your elevation breakdown for this year, I hope, in terms of that.
There you go. All right, Al, you know my opinion of road openers. I don't understand how Purdue, as a Power 5 team, gets itself in a situation where it's playing on the road to open its season. It's not unprecedented, though, for Purdue to be away from Ross Ade to start things off.
Well, and I think there's been – I know you've – and I it's not an optimal situation. I get that. And I know that Brian's written about it as well. You've talked about it. There have been a lot of Big Ten teams that have gone out west and played. I mean, even recently, now Northwestern lost at Nevada, I think, in 2006. You certainly had you've had Wisconsin play Fresno State. I think there's been several other games, teams that have opened out west. It's not optimal. You want to avoid this thing. But the main thing about Friday night's game is pretty simple. Just win if you're Purdue and get out of there alive and move on. But, yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. I don't think it's something that you're going to see Jeff Brohm do a lot more of in terms of looking down the road and scheduling these types of games, at least not ones against non-Power 5 opponents, if he can help it.
That's Alan Karpik with his historical view of Purdue's opener at Nevada on Friday. Thanks, Al.
Thanks.
All right, we'll bring in Tom Dienhardt here in just a moment. We'll break this one down a little bit more, talk some matchups, give our predictions as well. That's coming up on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Might have to change that promo. I'm broadcasting from the office inside my house, Tom. all right, Purdue and – yeah, it sounded good, though. That's an old one. Purdue and Nevada Friday night. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the matchups that you're anticipating in this game. One, to me, you talk about that offensive line for the Wolfpack, and we heard from Duke Rittenhouse a little bit earlier in the podcast. You know, what do you make of Purdue's defensive line? Because we've seen it, at least early on in camp. We know some of those players. We know the potential of some of those young players. And you listen to Purdue's coaches talk to you, and they seem pretty encouraged by that group. Can that be an area, despite Purdue's youth on Friday, that it really does have an advantage?
I think so. Even without Lorenzo Neal up front on the inside, the big defensive tackle, I think that Purdue defensive line still has a lot of teeth to it and should still be able to have success against a Nevada offensive line that is retooling. Both tackles for Nevada are back, but the interior, that's a new unit there, the two guards in the center. That's going to be an edge, I think, for Purdue. We all know how important it is to slow down running games, and that's going to be goal number one for Purdue, I'm sure, every game, this one in particular, because if Purdue can mute Nevada and its star sophomore running back, get them in second and eight, third and seven, then they can get after that redshirt freshman quarterback with some pressure and maybe force some turnovers.
Is there another matchup in particular, another area or aspect of this game that you're really looking forward to?
You know, I think when you talk Purdue offense with Jeff Baum, you always think about pass, right? I think that's the area Purdue wants to get established. Again, I think they want to come out and get the run going too. But again, taking some shots downfield against a Nevada secondary that is vulnerable. The strength of the Wolfpack defense is its linebacking core. But again, that secondary can't be exposed. They have a very good cornerback, but there's a lot of other questions for Nevada with that 3-3-5 scheme. And I think maybe Purdue can get some matchups it likes. Take some shots downfield to get some of those big chunk plays that Jeff Brom loves so much.
A year ago, Elijah Sindelar came out in the first half, threw three interceptions, didn't look very comfortable, was coming back from, you know, the injury from the year before, then got himself a little bit banged up throughout last season, will be coming back again from an injury this year. Do you think, though, that he settles in a little bit sooner at the quarterback spot, has a better opener this year than he did last year?
Well, you like to think the quality of opponent isn't of the same ilk as a Northwestern. Obviously, no disrespect to Nevada. So you'd like to think, you know, maybe a similar will have a little bit more success and won't feel the need to maybe make something happen. He sort of alluded to that, sort of wanted to force the action, try to make the big throw, even when the big throw wasn't there. Maybe Purdue tries to get him in a rhythm with some shorter passes early, then take those shots downfield. But again, he's talking the talk right now, Kyle. He looks good. He says his knee is a lot better than it was last year. Now can they protect Elijah Sindler and keep him upright? Because I think if he gets time to stand in that pocket and look for his options in the receiving tree, I think he has a chance to have a big game with all those skill position receivers, you know, Purdue has at its disposal.
All right, prediction, Tom. What do you got?
I went with 38-17. I think Purdue should win this one. They're a double-digit favorite. They're a double-digit favorite according to Vegas, and I think they're going to come out and play a good ball game. The key is going to be obviously limiting turnovers. If they can keep their turnovers down, make Nevada earn whatever points it's going to earn or score, I should say, I think Purdue is going to have a lot of success against that Nevada defense and have a fun playing right at home late on Friday night, early Saturday morning.
Yeah, I've got the Boilermakers 31, Nevada 21. I think the Boilermakers roll to a victory here. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see this defense, Tom, that seems to have some playmakers, especially in the secondary, come up with a turnover or two. I think this defense, maybe more so than a lot that we have seen for the Boilermakers here in recent years, has an opportunity really to be opportunistic, because I think they can get some pressure up front, and I think they've got the athletes in the back half of that defense to be able to come up with an interception or two and give the offense an extra possession, which will really mean a lot for this group. I'm excited to see that, and excited to see whether that prediction will come to fruition this year, because I really do like some of those guys in the secondary and like, you know, Derek Barnes and George Karloftis as pass rushers as well.
Yeah, good points. It's a defense that Brom spoke about on Monday that he didn't think was quite at the level of the 2017 defense. Of course, his first one at Purdue. That defense, as you know, Kyle, covering the team, had some pretty good veterans sprinkled throughout it.
Yeah.
This defense may have more talent overall, but it still doesn't have, I think, that experience level of the 2017 defense. So you're right, there's a lot to like with Nick Holt's crew. And one other area for fans to watch are special teams in game number one. A lot of times the return units don't work at full speed during practices for fear of injury. This is the first time we're going to see, I think, kickoff returns, punt returns, you know, really going 100%. And a lot of times in that first game, you see some big plays. So perhaps we'll see Purdue run back a punt or a kickoff or a touchdown Friday night.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Hey, thanks a lot. Behave out there in Reno. I know how you get out there on the road, so try to contain yourself, all right?
Be drinking my 7-Up and playing Keno. How about that?
There you go. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for our first pregame podcast of the season. Thank you to our sponsors. Of course, 6th Street Dive, Follett's, Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, First Source Bank, and Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus. All right, that'll do it for Golden Black Radio. Thanks to WFI meteorologist Annie Brown for joining us, giving us a forecast for Reno on Friday night. For Tom Dienhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.